This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
5 o'clock on a Friday, as they say, it's 5 o'clock somewhere in the world. Woo. And we are at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, thank you guys for hanging out with us. We just had a great conversation with Steve Kuhn and Mike. A lot of our listeners going, man, I don't know. Like, Steve, what is he saying about this, that, and the other? And remember, to be fair to Steve, he will get a big, hefty fine. Right. If he speaks specifically about other teams' right. players,
executives can't talk about
can't do it. But now. He gave us the gist, you know, right. I thought, in his best way that he possibly could.
The Landry Fields comments come up at 5:15.
That's right.
Speak with the media.
That's right.
And hopefully by the time we're off the air at 7, maybe we'll have some of that for you. But I would imagine that our brethren in the media of Atlanta will be asking the questions we were just talking to Steve about. Would you have, last question I asked Steve, would you have moved DeAndre Hunter where he's at in his game if Jalen Johnson doesn't, you know, unfortunately, get that season-ending shoulder injury?
It's a really good question, Mike. And, you know, like I said, 3 weeks ago, we were on the cusp of potentially moving into the 5 or 6 spot.
Right.
There was literally 3 games that separated us at 7 to the 4 spot, right? We had beaten the Knicks twice. We had beaten the Celtics twice. I'm just going back
beaten before. Cleveland.
Yes,
right.
Twice. So it gave you hope that if you were going to play one of these teams potentially in the playoffs, you would be able to do it and play them hard in a 7-game series and maybe pull off an upset, even though they would be a higher seed. I'm here to tell you that I believe, and this is my personal opinion, that if the injury does not happen to JJ, I think they stay the course. I think the team stay. Now, that doesn't mean they didn't make one of these small moves that add some more depth.
Right.
Maybe they still trade Bogey because I think that was building up.
And Bogey's having a terrible year.
He's having a terrible year shooting.
Right.
But if you're telling me D. Hunter is still here, probably. That's my guess.
Right. Anyway, guys, more on the Hawks coming up. We'll see what Landry Fields has to say about these efforts to result and be resulting. Or not resulting, because they don't want to be caught up on resulting. Hey, man, can I get one of my beefs off my chest real quick with the Falcons? It's a Falcon report. I love John Abraham. Predator is one of my favorite Falcon players. We've had him on the show a couple of times the last couple of years. The reason I bring it up is Jared Allen is going into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He's part of the 2025 class that Eli Manning was not a part of.
Yes.
Eric Allen goes in. Antonio Gates, certainly deserving. You know, Antonio Gates, more receptions and more yards than Tony Gonzalez. And so, makes sense. Real quick on Jared Allen. 4-time All-Pro, 5-time Pro Bowler, 136 sacks, forced 32 fumbles. Our man, John Abraham, 3 less sacks, forced more fumbles, 47. He was a 5-time Pro Bowler,
right,
like Jared Allen. He was 1 less time an All-Pro. The numbers are right there. Now, John Abraham, for many years, was not really chatty with the media because the media treated him pretty poorly and he didn't want to deal with it. He was kind of like old school with that. So, like Eddie Murray was in baseball, for
yes,
give
true,
an example.
True.
You feel John Abraham's ever going to get in the Hall of Fame?
No.
Because Jared Allen's numbers are basically identical.
Listen.
He's got more tackles than him, but Abe's got more impactful plays.
Who is putting this in front of the committee and being a John Abraham advocate?
Right.
If you don't have one or two, and I'm here to tell you, there's a lot of old school cats in that room that vote for the Hall of Fame. If you don't have somebody in that room advocating for you, hey, John Abraham, let me tell you what this is, and gives those numbers, Mike, and brings it to the attention of the room, and somebody says, okay, we need to look at this. Like, right. I don't know if he's got that. Until right. that happens, unfortunately, I don't think he's going to get recognized the way he needs
to. Top 20 in sacks. Anyway, just it always comes up when we get into the Hall of Fame. Also today with the Falcons, our man, D. Orlando Ledbetter. A lot of guys were worried when we found out that Kirk Cousins said, no, I wasn't hurt. And then he was only on that injury report once, said it was a clerical error. That a lot of folks immediately thought, oh, no, is this going to come back to bite us with the NFL? Only, guys, the way I've read it, and Carl and I, we talked about this, if you got a player that's injured and you don't disclose the injury,
correct.
Do you fall in trouble with the NFL?
And they disclosed it.
Reason I bring this up is that D-Led put this out on Twitter saying, reach out to the NFL if they were going to look at his Cousins thing. And they said, they'll get back to me, which means they're too busy. So it sounds like that won't be any kind of investigation anytime soon. D-Led did try to ask Kirk some hard questions at this charity event that was involved with a corporate event. It was Procter & Gamble. And eventually, once Cousins realized there was media there asking questions about his injury, not injury, he put a shirt over his Falcons shirt.
Yeah, I mean, look, we talked about it with D yesterday. It's online at odyssey.com. He explained exactly what went on. It's just disappointing. Like, at this point, I'm ready to move on. Like, and I'm talking about with Kirk Cousins. It's just disappointing that it all played out the way it did. And to me, this was the crescendo, Mike, of what we already assumed. What we talked about all week about how the integrity was not there, how he lied to not only his teammates but his coaches and put L's on the board because he was incapable of pulling himself from the game even though that was best for his team. And then you talk about running from D-Led the way he did.
Right.
It's the cherry on the top. That's
nobody
all it is.
Nobody runs from D-Led. I mean, you can't. I'm not that fast. By the way, yeah, the quote that D-Led had on his Twitter, he goes, the AJC sent an email to the NFL asking if the Cousins matter would be investigated. They declined comment. That was yesterday.
Fair enough. Hey, man, as we talk about and get ready for the big game on Sunday, we're going to talk more about that. Also last night, and this has been a big topic of conversation. It's funny. I got people finding me on social medias that I'm not even on. I'm like, where are you calling me at? Where are you hitting me up at? Talking about Lamar Jackson not winning the MVP. And we've spent a lot of time on this today. We're going to get into it here as part of our strong arm story of the day. But, Mike, I thought that was criminal. There were other awards handed out. But when you don't win Offensive Player of the Year, which obviously goes to Saquon,
right.
and you don't win MVP, which you should have based on the numbers that you put up, we found out from Brian McFadden, he didn't even show up to New Orleans. He wasn't even in, he was not even there last night. That should have told everybody. So, like, the crowd, you know, they do that pan of the crowd. Look who's here. And they're doing that. Where's Lamar?
Right.
He wasn't even there.
He knew. Somebody had told him, hey, man, yeah, you can sit this one out. I did get a kick out of the meme. Somebody said it was really nice that Patrick Mahomes makes it easy for these guys to receive these postseason awards in person because they're not playing in the Super Bowl.
That's right.
That Josh Allen can't get past them, Mahomes and the Chiefs. Hey, one other little nugget I saw from Radio Row. A lot of our Falcon players, certainly Bijan is a Pro Bowler, Michael Penix Jr., a new face in the NFL, were doing some of the media rounds. We learned that Bijan says, Carl, if he wasn't doing football, he liked to be a director, like to do amusement parks and design rides and all sorts of stuff. One thing I thought was really funny, that Penix has came up in conversation, and he said he's kind of a homebody.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, he said, I don't really like to go outside.
I don't go outside. Yeah.
So when we was at Costco getting that hot dog, that's the one time I guess he was outside. Dojo.
You know what? It's weird, man. Everybody has their quirks, but, like, I could see that from a guy like Penix. It's just funny because you go, man, you're so, you know, outgoing, and, you know, you play a sport that's outdoors. And he's like, I really don't go outside. So I don't know, Mike, but I will say this. Bijan, we've learned this about Bijan. He's an eclectic dude. He's doing the acting thing. That
right.
may turn into something down the road for him if he wants to follow right. it or pursue it. Now you're telling me he would be wanting to do rides at amusement parks and whatnot. Like, he's a right. really eclectic dude. Like, he's good got dude. A lot of interest out there.
Right.
The main thing I'm interested in is him being the best running back in the league for us right now.
Big time. And one other nugget, as we're talking about the Falcons, we mentioned this earlier. Ken Segura had an article. I guess he was just looking at some of the numbers with the Eagles and the Chiefs. And basically, the point of the article is how well you're drafting, how well they're drafting, how much impact they're getting from their draft class the last 4 years as opposed to the Falcons. Fought in those four drafts, drafted ahead of the Eagles because obviously we weren't as good as those guys.
Correct.
Drafted ahead of the Chiefs as well. Of the players that Terry's drafted, four started 10-plus games this last year. From the same draft, Eagles had 9 guys starting more than 10 games, and the Chiefs had 10. So quality, going for the bigger schools, the bigger brands in some cases. They do some small schools too, but just more effective draft, more effective scouting potentially, Carl, or strategy.
Either
and that's
or,
why they're there and we're home.
Yeah, either or, they've gotten more right than we have.
Right.
And the other piece is they both have had their quarterbacks in place,
right.
which has allowed them to focus on other issues on their football team. they've addressed the needs that we've been searching for. Think about it. Last 3 or 4 years, we've been trying to...
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Figure out where we're going with Matt Ryan, where we're going next, and then without Matt Ryan, where we're going. We hadn't figured that out. They did that, and they did it right. With forward thinking when they drafted Jalen Hurts, and everybody said, what are they doing? They got a quarterback.
Right, because that was the year that he saw the writing on the wall with Wentz, but they took it. It was a second-round pick.
Took a quarterback.
And you and I said it was a great pick. He was going to be something. We got that one right, too. But that's just something to think about. So just got to get it better, man. Hopefully this year they do.
All right, we're coming back. When we do, we're live at Twin Peaks again. This hour is brought to you by our friends at Buffalo Wild Wings. Guys, of course, on Friday, it's happy hour. Now and every Monday through Friday, 3 to 6, at our friends at Buffalo Wild Wings. We'll come back. We'll talk about the snub that happened last night. And again, I'm not saying Josh Allen wasn't deserving, but he wasn't a better player than Lamar Jackson this year. Plain and simple. As we speak, our general manager, Landry is talking to the media about the deals that went down. And this is the guy, Mike, that we wanted to certainly hear from. And we're going to get a chance to hear from him. So stay tuned. We'll play some of that stuff for you a little bit later on. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll also tell you what Steve Kuhnen said to us literally 20 minutes ago about the deals and the trades coming up. But as we talked about, and Mike, we've been debating this, and so we need to get back into it for those who missed it. Thanks for listening to Atlanta's number one sports station. It's number one sports show, Dukes and Bell. Lamar Jackson does not win the MVP last night. And if this is something like you go, well, what's the big deal? When you put up better numbers in a year after you won the MVP,
right?
And it is pretty much a consensus across the board that he's having a better year and he won it last year, that you would win it again. And so when Josh Allen won the award last night, a lot of people were like, what? Josh Allen had a fabulous year, Mike, for Buffalo. But when you break down all these numbers, there was only one category that Josh was better. He had more rushing touchdowns. Outside of that, Lamar was better in every single category.
Yeah, and the funny thing about this, at least the AP shows you how the voters voted. There was one turd who's a former NFL player. Was it Jim Miller?
Yep.
Who does – what, Chris, what town does he do radio in?
He's on Sirius.
Nationally on Sirius
okay.
XM.
Well, this guy didn't even have Lamar Jackson in 1, 2, or 3. He had him in 4th place. I mean, what kind of a jackleg does that? You know, other than you're trying to make some kind of a statement. And that, you know, again, you know, Carl and I, guys always say, oh, you guys, you and Carl, Mike, you get into this race thing. Well, what's an old angry white guy doing it? It's kind of, sometimes you say, well, 2 plus 2 is 4 on this one. What are you doing? And he didn't, and other times he has not had him higher on his vote. We just mentioned this earlier. Nothing against Josh Allen. Carl said it. Joe Burrow deserved it. Saquon Barkley deserved a shot at it. But you look at the numbers, if you throw for 41 touchdowns and just 4 picks, and you rush for 915 yards, and you kind of make, as Carl said, people say, oh, he runs too much. Well, he didn't run as much in the red zone. He relied on his arm. Neither one of these teams has elite wide receivers that you think are no. Pro bowlers or guy no. You buy the jersey of. You know, they're a bunch of dudes. You know, they both have really good tight ends. Obviously, Derrick Henry, some guys. But so he got Derrick Henry, so that cancels out his season? I mean, yes, understand it. He was able to do some different things. I think Todd Monken also did a better job with Lamar Jackson. He built on an amazing year. It's why I hate the subjectivity of these kind of awards.
Yeah.
But some people just had a mean on for Lamar Jackson, which goes all the way back to when he got drafted. It seems like it continues today.
Well, immediately as this happened last night, and I was like very upset. And I'll tell you why here in a sec. People said, oh, it's voter fatigue. You know, they voted for Lamar in the last 2 seasons. He won 2 in a row. Come on, you give it to him the 3rd year in a row? Yes, if he was the best player
right.
in the league.
To your point, you are a voter. You go, yeah, he's got all the numbers, but yeah, let's do a different flavor. You know, I go to Baskin-Robbins every week. I do quarterback crunch. I'm going to do caramel ribbon today. I mean, it's just so ridiculous. I mean, it's just the vagaries of it.
And here's why I am upset, because I've heard a lot of this over the years. So when Lamar came in the league, he was what? A running quarterback. Runs too much. He, you know, as soon as he sees the play break down, he's going to run.
Right.
And what he heard and what he's been coached on is Lamar needs to be better in the pocket. He needs to be a better accurate passer. And so this year he is.
Right.
He did exactly what they said he needed to do to be a better quarterback. And then in the process, he put up the best numbers of any quarterback in the league, and then you don't reward him with the MVP. Explain that to me. When people tell you, hey, right. You know what? If you really want to take this to the next level, you got to be better in the pocket. Okay, cool. You got to cut your turnovers down.
Right,
okay,
check,
fine.
Check,
I've got to be more accurate.
Right.
Okay, no problem. He did all of that, and then they say, nah, you're not the MVP.
Yeah.
Help me with that.
But that's why I hate writers. And some of these guys, I mean, Jim Miller played in the NFL. It's hard to wrap your head around how you would do that. You know, I don't quite understand how you – fourth?
Sick.
Fourth? That's you're one of these guys being a Weisenheimer. At least the Associated Press, I'm not going to give you the laundry list of names. Some of the names you would recognize. I'll give you some of the bigger ones. Tom Brady, Lamar Jackson. Mike Tirico, Lamar Jackson.
Mm.
Teddy Bruschi from ESPN,
Lamar Jackson.
You know? So, it's interesting. Some of the other names real quick that you'd recognize. We talked about, is it Mike Florio? I think he's, you know, kind of a jerk. Hey, Lamar Jackson.
Sure.
Okay. I like that. We mentioned Tony Dungy, Lamar Jackson. You know, Jim Miller, Josh Allen. That's the guy we were talking about earlier. It's just, and some of these folks you recognize from our show, Greg Allman. He had Lamar Jackson on. Dan Orlovsky, Josh Allen. And I said this to Carl, Emmanuel Acho had Josh Allen, which surprised me. There was something sort of in the ether this year. And again, it's nothing against Josh. He had a great year. My buddy Carasillo is a big Bills fan. He grew up in Western New York. And even he says, Lamar Jackson, statistically, it's a slam dunk.
It is.
But if you listen to the broadcast, Romo, I'll tell you, Jim, Josh is having an MVP-caliber season. And as you said, it has kind of a cumulative effect. I'm not saying these guys, they hear Tony Romo say something, they're going to do it. But you hear this over and over.
Well,
it kind of grows its own momentum.
Week to week, Mike, it does play, and people want to believe the experts,
right,
when they hear them say that he's having an MVP season, and he was, but when you start being definitive about it and saying he's the MVP, that sticks. 404-726-0929. Here's the other thing that I'm not digging. Don't give him first team all pro if it don't matter.
Correct.
Josh Allen was not.
Which makes no sense.
Lamar Jackson was first team all pro. So again, if that doesn't matter, let's stop giving these awards out to say, hey, this is the best quarterback in the league. Because when you tell me, hey, he's the first team All-Pro quarterback, it is not anybody else in the league, then you're telling me he's the best quarterback. And that is why I'm looking at this and going, this was robbery. They didn't put any mask on. They just rolled up and said he's not winning it and took his award, and it's whack.
Well, you know, we talked about this earlier. Just give you some perspective from the NBA. The year after Kobe had the unfortunate situation when Colorado played out in court, at the end of the day, you realize this woman's got some mental issues and made some accusations that weren't true, but his brand was tarnished.
Yeah.
To the point where it's almost like the Raiders, well, Kobe could have won the MVP in 04, 05, 06, eventually won in 07. Dirk did win it, certainly had a great year in 06, 07 when the Mavs got that first title. But nothing against Steve Nash. But it's almost like, let's get something
different,
you know? And to me, like Steve is an amazing talent, and he's a Hall of Famer. We get all that. But it's like Kobe could have been that MVP for 4 years in a row.
Could have been. Should have been.
The fact that Kobe only has one is criminal.
No, Mike, it's silly. Either way, last night other awards again were handed out, but that was the big one. And it's debatable, guys. It's not, nobody's going to take Josh's award away. He had a great year, but this to me was like, you do everything and then some, and it's still not good enough. And that's just unacceptable to me. 404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up. We're going to talk about what Steve Kuhnin said to us about the Hawks and these moves. They're in action tonight. Coming up here on the show.
Hey, man, we did our picks about an hour ago. We did our official picks. You can rewind on the Odyssey app. It was pretty funny. Chris, he likes the Chiefs. You and I like the Eagles.
I do.
And it's funny because a lot of guys at the bar and everyone's kind of got their own opinion on this. I think if I had a dime for I've heard this week, I just want a good game. We all do. Think we're going to get a game we're going to be talking about for a while?
Well, we were talking about the last time, man. Listen, it was one of the most entertaining Super Bowls we've had.
Right.
38-35, back and forth. Looked like the Chiefs were taking control. Eagles come back. They score. I mean, like, this thing could have gone either way. And we forget, the Chiefs kick a field goal to win this game. That's what I expect, not the Chiefs kicking a field goal to win.
Right.
But I expect a field goal to be the difference in this game. Turtle said the line's moved. It's now a pick 'em. So if you were looking at this earlier in the week, it was, Chiefs by 1.5.
So if you win by one, earlier it was the Eagles by – Chiefs. Chiefs minus one.
Now it's basically they're saying, hey – you pick the team you think that's going
to
win.
I talked to my buddy. Now, I don't know if this is a byproduct of so many young people have gotten into gambling, are now burned, and are turned off by it. But a couple of our buddies who work in Las Vegas in the casino business, one of my good friends from high school, Mike Napoli, he's a casino host, he was saying the action is, or the amount of money being bet is down. And that may change us to 48 more hours to get this done. But they were actually surprised that the juice just really isn't there. Whether that's part of Chiefs fatigue or not, or people are just cost-cutting and not deciding to go crazy. But they said the biggest bet was a 250. Now, again, from the whales. There's a couple of six-figure bets, but it's nothing like we've seen before.
No, because people put millions of dollars down.
Right.
I mean, some of these guys come in and they'll drop $2, $3 million on a Super Bowl bet. And it changes the line, and depending on what the prop bet is or whatever, it can sway it one way or the other. But you're right. That in the game of gambling, Mike, that's chump change. Like, that's not a lot of money when you start saying, all right, what are the big bets and where are they going? Hey, as we will continue, guys, and we're coming back, we're live at Twin Peaks, Steve Kuhnin tried to address, again, I say that because he can't say specific and talk about specific players.
That's literally tampering. That's the definition of tampering.
And we're not paying his fine, okay, because that's a lot of money that the NBA would drop on him. But he does try to explain where the team is and where they're trying to go. And he had some interesting comments for us. And we asked him, what's this do to Trey? And he answered it.
Right.
But again, Trey has not complained yet.
Yeah, no. And guys, I'll say it again because I think it comes out of my mouth, goes up to the antenna, comes out of your car's speaker. I'm not trying to run Trey out. I've embraced Trey. Even if you call me a hoe, Carl, I still embrace Trey.
Yeah, that's true.
But, I mean – I'm just saying we've seen other stars feel, I can't win here. Get me out of here. Myles Garrett has done it in a classy way, as classy as you could say, get me out of here. But I think at some point you can't blame Trey. He's not there yet. But they better get this right this offseason.
We're coming back. It's Dukes and Bell live at Twin Peaks and Buckhead.
Hey, man, it is Dukes and Bell. We are live from Twin Peaks and Buckhead on a beautiful, man. This weather's going to be great. If you got plans, maybe you're lucky enough to have that outdoor TV and grill set up, man. Enjoy your time with your friends on Sunday. I know that we were just joking off the air with some of our friends at the bar. The way things are going, we get to an 18-game season. We will have a Monday off on President's Day.
No, literally, we will.
Right. Chris is in for Carl. Carl's heading on down to State Farm. He's got TV duties tonight. FanDuel TV, you'll see him on the Hawks broadcast, and hopefully the Hawks can get things cooking. We were talking with Steve Koonin earlier, guys, the Hawks CEO, and we said he's the Hawks CEO, but he's not responsible for the basketball moves as far as the personnel moves. That's Landry Fields, who I presume is still speaking with the media down at State Farm. But a lot of folks still disappointed. The question that I asked Steve at the end of our conversation was, if we don't lose Jalen Johnson, would they have still traded DeAndre Hunter?
No.
And Steve was kind of, that's a great question. Didn't really answer it, but
no,
yes.
No, he can't. And the thing is, Mike, they, as Carl said before he jetted, the Hawks were two games out of the four spot. You don't trade your sixth man of the year candidate when you're two
right.
games out of the four spot. When you lose your second best player for the year and you spiral out of control to get to the point where they are now where they've lost 9 out of 10 games,
right.
yeah, that's when you trade your sixth man of the year candidate who's averaging almost 20 points a year. All the caveats of, oh, we're selling high, we don't want to potentially not sell him now, and then we can't trade him for a bag of peanuts later, that's all contingent upon Jalen Johnson getting hurt, Mike.
Right.
If Jalen Johnson doesn't get hurt and is out for the year, this team, I would argue, should have been buyers at the deadline, not sellers, but the Jalen Johnson injury changed everything.
Right. And then as we had some conversation with Steve, he's like, who would you have wanted? Like, it was almost
right.
How, Sway?
Yeah.
Where
well,
are we
how,
going with this?
Well, how about Brandon Ingram?
And we mentioned Brandon Ingram. We mentioned a couple of other names. I threw up just as a flyer, Kyle Kuzma, which maybe doesn't get that many people fired up.
Hawks will see him tonight.
But you would like to see us, you know, adding to this squad. And look, now you've created $45 million in cap space. You've picked up some depth. Now, it's not exactly exciting, with all due respect to Terrence Mann, who did a nice job at Florida State back then. He's been really been a kind of just an average off the bench, if not even average. He's just a dude player in the league. So you've got some depth moving forward, but, you know, do something with that money. You've got that $45 million marker in the minds of Hawks fans. How are you going to get an all-star in here? Because that's what you need. Now, Jalen Johnson is an all-star. We've used that phrase. It gets overused, and I overuse it myself. You know, the Batman Robin, you know, because trade attractors say he's not Batman. Yes, he is. He's Batman. He's got the right guys around him, okay? No, he's not Luka. We've already discussed that. He's not 6'8", okay? But he goes for 30, and he can do that every night if he wants. He's gotten other guys involved. He's having his most balanced season. But how do you help this guy? How do you get an all-star caliber, you know, all NBA? I mean, how? Who? When?
Well, right.
Because if you look at the free agent class, it's not very exciting.
No.
And some of the names are expensive and will be expensive. And how do you – they'll be maybe a little bit more than $45 million.
You could. And the other thing, too –
And look, there's ways to mitigate that. I'm not just saying that's the number, but that's where a lot of Hawks fans use it as like the abstract. We got money to spend this offseason.
We know cap finagling is a thing that can be done, Mike Bell. But here's the thing. The pitch, if I'm Koonin and Co. and Landry and everybody else and Kyle Korver, is – you have Trey, Jalen will be back healthy, you have Dyson Daniels, and you have Reese Shea.
Right.
So you got to find a star that's in that sweet spot that's not 35 Kevin Durant on their last licks looking to win a title next year.
Right.
You
got to
find a guy who's in that middle ground, 29 to right. 32.
Well, that's the irony, because DeAndre Hunter at $25 million a year, basically, and change has kind of, for whatever reason, shaped into the guy we thought he was going to be, and the contract's kind of a value, but that's the great chicken and the egg argument. If Jalen doesn't go down, would they be moving him? Chris says, of course they wouldn't. So we're just kind of frustrated because the Hawks just are stuck in this play-in rut. We were just doing the math. Can we get to the 35 wins? That was the over-under set for this team this year. Right now, you'd have to go at 13 and 18 to get to 36 wins this season.
By the way, here's
certainly doable.
It's doable. Here's Landry Fields, by the way, his quote on DeAndre Hunter's departure. Sometimes it's not so much picking between good and bad, but good and better. Mike, did they bring in anybody that's better than DeAndre Hunter?
No.
Yeah, no, I don't think
so. No, I mean, look,
I would actually say
I'm not even going to. It's so easy to, you know, it's like shooting clay pigeons when you take shots at the Hawks front office. All right, do something with it. It's not a salary dump by definition, but technically you move some pieces off the board so you can create some space. So I know we're talking semantics here. All Hawks fans is a winner. And then the great debate, I had a guy who's funny, Rick is at the bar, goes, stop saying Trey's going to leave. I'm just telling you how, he goes, Mike, you're projecting. Yeah, I'm projecting. If I was Trey Young, trade my butt. Get me out of here. Get me somewhere where I can get back on the All-Star team. I could be on the Olympic team in a couple of years. My brand gets built up. You know, my shoe deal is optimal. Things like that.
Well, Steve Koonin, I guess luckily for now, His quote was, I can't expand on something that he hasn't done. He hasn't said a word of negativity. So I guess at least on the onset, he's still in on, I guess, whatever the plan is, which we'll, and which we don't know.
And as a star player, just like we always talked about, you know, with Matt Ryan, he should have an ear to this and be involved in, at least a voice, I should say, and be listening but have a voice in what you're doing, what kind of players you want to bring in here, because it is his show. And clearly, DeJounte Murray, we covered this yesterday. We were doing the show up there at Buffalo's, and thanks everybody who showed up. Good show up there in Tequila. But, you went 2 years and you wasted two more years of Trey's prime with an ill-advised move with DeJounte Murray. You need some size. Front court, we talked about the athletic wing. Can you do that with the money they're going to have to move? Jalen Johnson staying healthy is the linchpin for all of this.
Yes.
Moving, and whatever we're going to do.
And his health also makes the attractiveness for the guys that are going to be out there so much higher than what it is right now when he's sitting on the shelf. Landry Fields also addressed the traits of the newcomers that appeal to the Hawks and why they brought them in.
Okay.
Terrence Mann, it was his versatility on the court. Caris LeVert, production that can fill a hole from the loss of DeAndre Hunter, even though LeVert averages 10 points a game and Hunter averages 20, so make that math make sense. And then George Niang gives us spacing and leadership. Mike, that last one, leadership.
Yeah, he's 31. He's 31?
Yeah, he's
at Iowa State.
But so what you're telling me is your team needs leadership to the point of where a guy who's been a bench role player his entire career is going to walk into the door and provide you leadership halfway through a lost season? Right. I don't like the sound of that.
Terrence Mann's a 34% three-point shooter. He averages 8 for his career. I mean, it's just – that's why yesterday – and I know I had some people saying, like, it's not a salary dump. Stop saying a salary dump. Okay, you added to your bench. I don't – we can argue, is that improving your bench? Well, it's better than you had because you're bringing G League guys. These are guys that were technically on an NBA roster the last couple of years.
Right.
But I'm with you. And that's why I was kind of just like, yesterday during the show. So where are we going this year? Well, it sounds like a trip to 7-10 land. Mostly probably 8-9-10. More like 9-10.
They're 9 right now, barely, by the game.
And Trey, the good news is Trey can get on a heater. And then another heater, and you win the rights to get your brains bashed in by the Celtics, or the Cavs.
Yeah, and
ironically with DeAndre Hunter,
and this is
who may have been Ben Simmons, by the way. I mean, for defense, I think the guy's a punchline to a joke. But if you want a guy, because he's shopping around now, because they just bought him out in Brooklyn,
and especially after adding Hunter, it's not like they need offense. So you can just tell him to do basically one thing, which is
all he can do,
right? Stand on the perimeter and defend guys, but. I just think that when it comes down to it, Mike, you're looking at a situation where what is your identity? This team does not have one. They can't shoot the three. They score, but they don't score as high as teams like the Pacers and the Thunder. They don't defend well. They started the season defend well. So what exactly are you, Hawks? What's your calling card?
Right. We traded Bogey, and Carl and I brought it up, and Carl said this yesterday, so echoing his sentiments. It's Bogey's worst year as a Hawk. They fell off the shelf.
Less than 30% from three, which is crazy.
And look, we always know Bogey's going to miss some time. But, and I wonder, I said this to Carl a few weeks ago, if that Olympic grind, you know, the guys who played extra, I know LeBron did too, but seeing Bogey do all the things that he did for Serbia, is that wear and tear because he's a guy that has a hard time staying healthy? Either way, he lost his shot. So right now, we've added those pieces. Okay, Niang. He's here for another year, so Landry Fields is saying they're not going to release Niang. He will be here next year.
Yeah, basically.
He's got another year on his deal.
So the guy that they're looking to move on from the contract from, according to reports, is Bones Highland.
Okay.
The guy that we joked around about yesterday.
Great name.
We can't wait for the Bones Highland minutes. Well, apparently we're going to be waiting for Godot on that one because it's not going to happen. They're looking to make the salary work on that, so be able to dump that salary, and he doesn't look like he'll be a part of the long-term plans for the Hawks. But a guy like Terrence Mann, Caris LeVert, those guys could be on your bench for the next couple of years. But that still leaves you, Mike, as you've been pounding the table on, and I wholeheartedly agree. Mike, it just leaves you in no man's land.
Well, this is why yesterday I was kind of just so downtrodden, crestfallen.
Yes.
And I'm trying to be positive because it's just frustrating because you've not, and I know I've covered this here, you've not done anything since 2021. You went backwards. You should have gotten rid of, you should have known the ceiling for John Collins and not given him the big contract, you know, or at least trade him. a sign and trade and get somebody in here who can actually, you know, do the alley-oop and actually hit the three-point shot. You know, because John was so inconsistent from the perimeter. And he was always skinny. That's why he went to GNC. You know, he was trying to get those Dwight Howard shoulders, which, you know, just never gets. None of lead in the dumper. And then we've talked about, you know, the depth guys, you know, having, you know, Red Velvet. No, you don't want to overspend for Red Velvet, but then he becomes a cap casualty. That's a glue guy. That's a decent score. Like, I know his career now is technically, he's not journeyman, but he's bounced now. He's on his third team. But Red Velvet was a nice piece on that run. You know, Gallinari was a nice piece. You know, Solomon Hill was a nice piece. But they don't improve on it. So they just, and then the DeJounte Murray disaster, we've already covered that. You know, we've talked about some of the draft picks. Cam Reddish, he wanted out. They obliged him. He's on his fifth team now since he got drafted. So 4 and 10, our two top 10 picks are off the roster from, what, 2018?
Yeah, and essentially you're going to have, I mean, I don't know how much more roster turnover in the offseason, but I would expect at least a couple more players to be gone at this point because, again, the identity of your team is there. The core, to steal a term, the core four, if you want to use it very, very lightly, with the softest touch possible, is there in the names of Reese Shea and Trae Young and Jalen Johnson. We know that those guys are going to be there next year. But
right.
when it comes to the ancillary guys that are around them, this team needs to completely reshape and reshape its identity to the point where, yeah, there's a majority of this roster when it comes to the role players that could be unrecognizable next year because they're going to have money to make moves. They're going to be in a position to look at what went right and what went wrong next year. And I think it's going to be a position where this team, in order to get to where they need to get back to, which is the Eastern Conference Finals, because that's the high, Mike, that, right. as you said, that's
the high watermark right.
for this team. Clearly, we've identified the issues that need to be fixed. But as you said, it's about getting commitment from players that normally wouldn't come here under any circumstances right. to buy into Quinn Snyder's message.
Well, that's just it. Now, again, if you get enough money, sometimes that's, sometimes that's all the only motivating factor for some NBA players and where they decide to go. But if you're looking for guys who want to – see, this gets into, like, the whole Trae conversation. We had guys on the text line, guys, they're going to want to play with Trae. BS, the players had Trae on the All-Star team.
Yep.
If you went strictly from a player vote, Trae is in the All-Star weekend. It was the fans and the coaches that keep him out and the media. So I can't speak to that. I think Trey's checked all the boxes and leadership and all the intangibles we've asked about. He's playing his most balanced season as a Hawk. Very frustrating. Hey, guys, it's Chris in for Carl. Carl's on TV tonight. Catch him on FanDuel TV with that at State Farm. As you mentioned, the Wiz are coming. Who's coming to town tonight?
The Bucks.
The Bucks.
So that should be a nice, easy.
Yeah, Kyle Kuzma came from the Wiz. So the
yeah,
Bucks, right?
That should be a nice, right. easy walkthrough.
Yeah. Hey, man, we're live at Twin Peaks in Buckhead. Super Bowl Sunday. By the way, if you're got to go get some ice, you got to make a beer run, or maybe you're on the road, 92.9 The Game, or maybe you're a working stiff on Sunday. We're carrying Super Bowl right here, so don't miss it. As Gronk says, Super Bowl licks. It's 59.
Yeah.
It's right here. On that commercial did make me chuckle.
Yeah.
Hey, man, we'll be here for another hour. We got some headlines to get to. The Hall of Fame voting came out. Another Falcon gets hosed. What's it going to take for that? Plus, Brian McFadden keys to victory for both the Eagles and the Chiefs. B-Mac, we were talking about some of these prop bets. Some of us really think Jalen Hurts, I mean, no blank Sherlock. Quarterback's going to have to play better than the other one. But can Jalen Hurts be Superman? If the Chiefs try to take away Saquon Barkley, that our conversation with B-Mac. And then what are you going to be cooking? We will do a last call tonight and see what you guys have planned for your Super Bowl party. Dukes and Bell with Chris. That's Turtle Thomas live. Twin Peaks in Buckhead.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games. Or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.